Evan Misa, the First Nations, Métis, and Inuit Students Association, and I'm the co-chair of our powwow committee.
All right, and tell me about the powwow event, when it's happening, all of that.
Yeah, so this is our Evan Misa's fourth annual Honoring Indigenous Students Traditional Powwow. It's happening this Saturday, April 11th, in the West Gym at SFU's Burnaby campus. This is just an excellent time for students, you know, whether you're Indigenous, non-Indigenous, it doesn't matter where you're from, to come and just experience a little bit about Plains Indigenous culture. Right, we have, it's basically open all day, 10 a.m., 10 p.m. We have our big grand entry at both noon and 6 p.m. Dinner's being served at 5. You got lots of dancers, lots of drummers, lots of vendors. Come spend your money. It's a really good time.
Mm-hmm. I noticed the title of the event is titled as the Honoring Indigenous Students Powwow. Would you be able to, I guess, explain specifically like what that signifies?
Well, Indigenous students, this is what it means to me at least. Indigenous students still are, but especially historically, have been really underrepresented in universities. There's very few of us even present. Like, for example, I'm a grad student. I'm doing my master's in mathematics. I'm the only Indigenous master student doing math. There's very few people in science in general, and this is not something that's unique to SFU. So there's been a lot of hard work that has gone into getting more Indigenous students into universities, making the universities a safe space for these students. So we want to honor the students who have done this work in the past, but as well as the students who are doing the work right now and the students who have yet to come.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And say you're to attend 10 a.m. Saturday, April 11th. Mm-hmm. What can you expect when you walk in?
So the first thing you'll probably notice is that there are just tons of vendors, right? We have over 40 vendors. All of them are Indigenous. Most of them are students, whether it's from SFU, UBC, CAP. We prioritize student vendors. But you see just tons of amazing artwork, whether it's beaded projects, painted drums. Some people even sell like soaps and Indigenous ice cream made out of soap berries, which is pretty neat. But then also, the moment you walk in, you're going to hear the drum, right? We have a main drum group, Love Medicine, and they're going to be there all day playing traditional Plains Indigenous songs for all of our dancers that come throughout the day as well. And so that you'll see dancers dancing, you hear drummers drumming, lots of vendors. It's yeah.
Another question I had is, I guess when it like comes to events like this, I notice often when it's very heavily stressed that like open to all, open to everyone. And I guess I wanted to ask if you could explain maybe like the importance of really emphasizing that, because I find that there are sometimes like somewhat unfair assumptions that powwows and events such as these are specifically for certain communities. If you could just maybe talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So, of course, open to all, it like, really does mean open to all. It doesn't matter whether you're young, old, student, non-student, Indigenous, non-Indigenous, right? And we really try to emphasize that this year is not just for Indigenous people, because, at least for me, and I know a lot of people think this way as well, if you restrict things to certain groups, then things feel very siloed. And then you create, you know, the in-group and the out-group. You're either part of our group or you're not. And you can kind of look in and say, well, why do they get to experience something that I don't? And it creates maybe a little bit of hostility between groups when things are exclusive. So an event like this, we really want everybody to come see, like, this culture is not just for Indigenous people, right? It's by Indigenous people, and we have to respect what that means, and that's... but it's not exclusively for them. We want to, in order to like our main goal really is to uplift Indigenous students while they're here. But it can't just be Indigenous students uplifting Indigenous students or Indigenous people uplifting Indigenous people. We need everybody, right? And that's not unique to Indigenous people. It happens with any group, right? We want everybody to uplift. We don't want to create siloed environments. We want to really foster or create the ideas of like. Collaboration between communities.
And yeah, do you hope, I guess, in this powwow is able to sort of help bridge that gap? You know, you said like there are still things that can and should be done in order to create those relationships and to foster connection. Is this just one aspect of that?
Yeah, for sure. I think like this is a very big display of a small part of indigenous culture, right? So it's very easy for someone, even if they just walk in, they're going to go work out in the fitness center, they can walk by and say and see that this is something that they can actually get a little taste of as well. When if you've never experienced anything indigenous, you know, whether it's coastal or plains or out east, it feels like it's like you're almost scared to go experience it. That's something over there, like on the other side, that you can't touch. And if our main goal is to really foster collaboration in general, right? It's just letting people warm up to the idea of, you know, indigenous culture. I think this is a really important first step, because it's scary. It's different. Even if you are indigenous and you weren't raised in indigenous culture, like myself, it's a really big first step to even try to experience any of it, right? It's because we try to focus on having this be so public and so open, right? We want as many people as possible to take that first step. It's hard to support indigenous students, whether you're indigenous or not, maybe in an institution, academically, emotionally, if you don't have any connection whatsoever. So just this first step into the door of indigenous cultures, I think this is a very important first step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, if there are SVU students listening right now, and if they want to, I guess, learn more or be more involved within the indigenous community here on campus, how do you suggest they do that?
I mean, the easiest way to at least follow along with what's going on campus within the indigenous community is to follow Evan Misa's Instagram. Right, which is just FNMISA on Instagram, or the Indigenous Student Center. Both of these put out lots of resources. They're constantly posting about the events that are happening on campus. Now, some of these are open to the public, like the powwow. A lot of them aren't, because a lot of these events are just for creating safe spaces or fostering community within the Indigenous student group. But that's a very easy way to at least see what's going on campus. If you want to get more directly connected, you can definitely reach out to the FN MISA or to the ISC. Just come say hello. Ask, because different times of the year, there's different things that are needed. We had someone come up to us, not to FN MISA, but the ISC a few months ago, asking about a research project that they're doing that might involve some indigenous people. Right, so never feel afraid to just ask. Right, if you want specific resources for learning, the ISC has tons. So does the FN MISA. So just reach out. If you're looking for something in particular, someone has the answer.
All right, great. Those were all of the major questions I had to ask. But if there's anything else about the powwow that we haven't spoken about yet and you want to touch on it, what would that be?
Man, the one thing we haven't talked about that I think definitely everybody should try is the food. Right, so we have a food truck and a food tents that are going to be outside the gym day of. And if they're going to be serving some delicious bannock and chili dogs, and it's really good. If you don't try anything from indigenous culture this weekend, except for one thing, you should try the food.
All right. Well, that all sounds delicious. You heard it here. If you're going to try anything, try the food. Thank you so much, James, for coming.
Thank you.
Down here and talking about this powwow event that's happening Saturday, April 11th in
the West Gym, 10 a.m. yes. to 10 p.m.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station, broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. The beginning of March this year, the Vancouver Public Library announced its 2026 Indigenous Storyteller in Residence, Nishka Theater Artist C. Peel. VPL's Indigenous Storyteller in Residence program was first developed in 2008 to highlight the importance of storytelling as a way to learn about and from Indigenous communities throughout Vancouver. C. Peel is an actor, director, writer, dancer, and producer who has worked in various art spaces throughout BC, including his work as the Indigenous Outreach Coordinator at the Kulch and his work as the Artistic Associate at the Carmen Arts Group. CJSF reached out to C. Peel to learn more about what he's working on for this residency, and during our conversation, we discuss some of what he hopes he's able to achieve as VPL's Indigenous Storyteller in Residence. In his own words, he hopes to destabilize the notion that people understand what Indigenous means.
It's already tricky enough to land opportunities as an Indigenous person, and it's tricky to find opportunities that allow for the dignified self-agency to determine what exactly the position can mean. It's tricky to find opportunities like that, meaning that a lot of opportunities will sort of have an often subconscious assumption of what indigeneity is, and that can sort of set the stage for a potential limiting on what the true possibilities are for Indigenous people to create art and to self-express, because there's this potential for the understanding to impair who gets selected, because you don't necessarily fit the understanding of what indigeneity is as opposed to what it can be.
This sentiment from C. Peel is something that can be seen throughout all of the programming and personal projects that he's working on during his time as the Indigenous Storyteller in Residence for the VPL. Specifically, one of the events that he is hosting is titled Pretendianism. Pretendianism is the term that has been given to a social phenomenon in which someone has publicly and falsely claimed Indigenous identity, often for some form of personal gain. And we asked him why it was important for him to tackle that subject in particular.
What is our understanding of the word going into the conversation before we even start the conversation around indigeneity, pretendianism, opportunity? All of these big, enormous conversations, before we even get there, can we just sit with the curiosity towards what our current understanding is? Because to not do so sets the stage for the continuing reoccurrence of the phenomena. Not that it's going to stop the phenomena, but if we can carry an open-ended curiosity around why does this thing keep happening? I mean, we've got clear reasons, like I mentioned, it's the opportunity, it's the money, it's the acclaim, all of these benefits that can go along with landing a position in a prestigious organization, like not specifically that this has happened, but like a position like what you might find as the Indigenous Storyteller in Residence at the Vancouver Public Library, where it's well-funded, got access to the public, it's got access to all of this other stuff. I feel like it's so vitally important to not leave anything unsaid when it comes to these conversations, because it's not enough to just have a position available. It's also important in the conversation of decolonialism and re-indigenization and cultural evolution to be willing to sit with the discomfort that can come from a potential misstep in, oh, this institution hired somebody and it turns out they're not Indigenous. I think that a part of the journey needs to be, well, no, let's just unpack that. Let's talk this through. And before we even get to the point where it actually occurs, before we even get to that point, can we just sit down and talk about what this actually is?
One of the last things we spoke about with C. Peel was the personal project he's developing as part of his role as the Indigenous Storyteller in Residence. He gave us an in-depth overview of the project, explaining how it relates to many of the other questions that he is posing throughout this residency.
So a question that I've been sitting with that is at the heart of my personal project here at VPL, as well as it had been at the heart of a different project, so I'm looking to figure out how does the question manifest in a different form. But the question is, what comes to your mind when I say the word Indigenous? And how did that get there? How did that understanding get there in the first place? What set the stage for that understanding? The first iteration of the project was a dance theater piece that I developed in a residency with Raven Spirit Dance. They are an Indigenous dance company here in Vancouver. I spent about a year in a developmental residency where I worked alongside a mentor to work on a personal project. And that was 2024. I worked with Yvette Nolan, an Indigenous artist, fantastic, outstanding artist, really, really insightful. And in one of our conversations about the project and about the nature of it, she had said something that ended up becoming the title of that version of the piece, which was that a lot of the things that I'm sort of sitting with and unpacking with as an Indigenous person, these are the things that I cannot unknow. And so that became the title, The Things I Cannot Unknow.
To learn more about CPL's work and some of the events that are going to be hosted during his time as the Indigenous Storyteller in Residence at the Vancouver Public Library, you can go to vpl.ca/storyteller. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can find this piece on frequencynews.ca. You can also find our full-length interview with CPL on cjsf.ca.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
Reporting from New Westminster, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On March 31st, New Westminster Mayor Patrick Johnstone announced that he will be seeking re-election in the city's upcoming municipal election later this year in October. The announcement took place inside Pizzeria Ludica, a local pizza restaurant in New Westminster, and shortly after doors opened, the restaurant was packed with fellow city staff, councillors, and supporters of Mayor Johnstone and Community First New Westminster, the municipal political party that Mayor Johnstone is a part of. CJSF attended the event, and before the official announcement, we spoke with Mayor Johnstone about his plans to run for a second term as mayor of New Westminster. The first question we asked is, why are you running for mayor?
Because I love the city. I'm really proud of the work that we've done in the last 3.5-4 years in the city, and I recognize that we've got a lot more work to do. So I think that we've got a great team, and we're creating great momentum in New Westminster, and I want to keep that momentum moving.
We then asked Mayor Johnstone if he has plans to change the way things are currently being governed in City Hall if elected once again in October.
I think the biggest thing is we are on a great momentum right now, and we want to keep on moving it forward. We're doing great work on affordable housing in this city. We've got 3 affordable housing projects under construction right now. We've done so much work on renter protections and doing that kind of work to deal with affordable housing. Yet we still have seniors afraid about being able to age in place. We still have young families who can't get that extra bedroom when they have another kid. We've got people living on the street in New Westminster, so we have more work to do on that front. I'm really excited about the next phase in recreation investments in the city and parks and recreation spaces. We just introduced our new parks and recreation plan, and we can now start building some of those facilities. Excited about that work. I'm excited about a Vision Zero work and making our roads safer. I'm excited about our momentum on climate action and youth empowerment in the city. There's a lot of good things going on in this city, but we just need to keep moving forward.
Since becoming mayor in 2022, Johnstone and the councillors affiliated with Community First New Westminster have held a majority on council, with city councillors Daniel Fontaine and Paul Minhas representing the New West Progressives, a party that is often in public opposition with Community First. Councillor Fontaine, who is regularly debated with Mayor Johnstone over council decisions, has also announced that he will be running for mayor at the end of this year. And we asked Mayor Johnstone if that has had any effect on the council's dynamic or governance leading up to the next municipal election.
I mean, there's a lot of debate in council, and there's a lot of spirited debate on council, but ultimately we're still getting the work done. I'm glad that we have a majority of people on council who vote for affordable housing, who vote for climate action, who vote for our great approach to community engagement. We've got a lot of positive work going on at council, and the majority of council is voting for it, and that's important. Debate's important. It's important to make sure that we're checking on the work that we're doing and checking with the community all the time on the work we're doing. But we don't want to let it stop our momentum.
After a row of speakers from community members to city councillors, Johnstone went up last and gave the official announcement that he'll be running for mayor for a second term in New Westminster. This has been Danny Nesvetterani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.